is a performance agreement, it seems like one of the first things you need to know is he's the supervisor. He understands the organizational needs. He needs to listen to the employee and understand the employee's needs and see how they overlap and get a meshing of the two.
Okay, very good. So they come up with a win-win performance agreement. Let's assume they've had it, but it's rather new, and now it's time for accountability, performance review, and planning. Now what?
Well, if it's been hasn't been working as well as they had both hoped it would under the accountability, his job as a supervisor is to function as a resource and find out what the employee needs to help him get what he hasn't gotten.
Okay, so essentially, you would?
Monitor, check. I'd be into more short-term, quick results rather than the long-term trust approach.
Okay, that would be the control. Say you had what he talked about, this stewardship concept in the form of a mission statement for a job and a responsibility in a person called a win-win performance agreement. Say you had that.
Okay.
Now?
There would be a lot, it'd be more release, there'd be more trust. I'd be more open to suggestion from him. I'd be more subjective, open to feedback.
Would you judge him?
No.
He would judge himself according to the performance
according
agreement.
According to the criteria built into the performance agreement into which you built your judgments. So now, no downstream surprises, see? No subjective looking at his character. If his character is such that it doesn't produce the competency to get the job done, then you have the results on it. But you don't have to sit and describe his character and invade his character. Leave the character realm to each individual. Teach the principles. Eventually, if character is important in performance, then when the person knows I am responsible for performance, they'll do whatever they need to do in their skill base, their competency, or in their character to get that performance. See, so you're not messing around with his private life. So you'd get out of evaluating people against character traits. You'd get out of evaluating against a certain hidden, secret, downstream performance criteria. It's all up front. Now, would you give evaluations to him regarding the next job he wants to go to?
Sure.
Because you're a resource. That's part of the performance agreement. You can say, I didn't know you had that interest. You want to move into that position? Let me describe what the criteria are and also give to you my appraisal. See, I'm not judging the person. They're judging their own performance. But I'd say to them, my opinion of your strengths and weaknesses in relation to that, and you might draw upon other people's opinions too. Now you are a resource. He's asked for it, see? He's grateful for it. And sometimes the tougher you are, the more grateful he will be because you're really leveled. He had serious blind spots. Everyone hesitated to give it, but that was part of your psychological agreement with him. So you gave him information on his blind spots. Even if he got into bad performance, and he said to you, well, what do you think's happening? And you see blind spots are killing him, but you've identified in the performance agreement that you are a resource. I'd be happy to share, as you've asked me to. I think this is what's happening, and this is what's happening. Now you're describing behavior and results, and he can decide how he wants to develop the character strength and the competency to handle that reality. And you can identify, now here's some training and development. Here's a mentor over here. We could supply this kind of help. We have a little money that we can help with some special classes, or we don't have any money. We don't have any budget. But there are a number of resources out there that on your own proactive, see? So basically, notice what you're doing in the empowerment approach. You're running by the person and saying, how can I help you? Then when you stop for the accountability, you say, how's it going? Then you say, where do you want to go now? Let me share how I see we want to go, so it's win-win. Then what? How can I help you? And I can influence structure and systems to help. But maybe my circle of influence is very small. So I've got to do what he did. Involve people in the problem, work out the solution together, be patient, be persistent, build the emotional bank account with the powers that be so that little by little you might be able to create opportunities for you to make changes inside the organizations.
Just thinking of current environments, one of the arguments that I suspect would come up is it sounds like this is going to be a very time-consuming process, and how is that going to really help us increase the bottom line if we're going to spend all this time with all this involvement and participation?
Dad, for me to, you know, get that kind of an education, I would have to spend a lot of time, Dad. I mean, I'd have to do homework every day, Dad. You mean every morning I milk the cows? I mean, I'm planning some outings with my friends. There is no quick fix. You're dealing with natural forces. However, let's say that you get enough buy-in by enough people that there needs to be a quick response and adaptation. If the culture has high trust, it can accomplish it. You get a superordinate goal. You get a Pearl Harbor, and you will awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve. And it's amazing how rapidly major crises can be dealt with. In fact, even though I am overwhelmed by all the problems in society, you know what equally overwhelms me when I read the newspaper? How so many people are working on them, and how the basic underlying belief is optimistic that you can work on this problem, and someone has a child that has this lung problem, and there's a fund raised, and then you have this drug situation over here, and there's some kind of effort to deal with supply and demand. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. There seems to be so much energy everywhere to address those concerns and problems. You wanted to comment on that, Willard?
Yeah, I have about 15 or 20 people in my group, and we function off partnership agreements almost exclusively. And I spend about maybe half of my time, or fourth of my time in formal contact with them, maybe half of my time in mentoring contact with them. The other half of my time I spend in dealing with other organizations and partnering to help them bring in this kind of technology into their organization. So I have a lot of free time, in a sense, to do the way I want to do, working in a circle of influence, as opposed to working directly with the group, because the partnership agreements are so effective, they're so released and empowered, they really only need me as a quarter last resource, a resource of last resort, if they need help. Okay, it's incredibly effective.
This is really beautiful, because if you take a present situation, like the question reflected, where people are just inundated and pressured, then all of a sudden you try to establish this concept of empowerment, win-win performance agreement, with that mindset, you can see how difficult it would be and how seemingly impractical and idealistic, how unrealistic it could be. What Willard basically said was, he didn't deny that. He doesn't deny that there's those kinds of pressing realities, but the nature of his work as the manager of self-managing people and self-managing teams has totally changed to where he has... That's what he does. As a leader, he helps lubricate the processes. He helps negotiate new partnering or win-win performance agreements with other parts of the organization or in outside, or he becomes a source of help to these people, see? In other words, anytime you take a problem that you're facing now and you're asking a question, does this paradigm work? Get within the frame of reference of the paradigm and the fruits that it eventually produces, then ask the question. Does it work? Otherwise, I'll agree with you. You can discount it. It takes forever. And we don't have forever. I mean, we have to move. We have all kinds of organizational pressures and realities, and we have to move, see? But there are other dimensions to leadership besides empowerment. In fact, if I were to give a simple definition of leadership, and this is the simple on the far side of complexity. Right? Because that is a fairly complex paradigm, isn't it? And the kind of realities you're expressing are fairly complex. You remember, if you go for the simple on the near side of complexity, it becomes what? Just simplistic. Like you can just quickly do this, this, and this, and it will redeem that situation. It doesn't at all. In fact, those quick fixes often add to the long-term chronic problems, creating a need for more fixes because you're just setting fires. You're like an arsonist that right now you put this one out, but you've thrown out 10 others, see? This is simple, but I think it capsulizes the whole thing we're talking about. Leadership is two things: what a person is, what a person can do. Competency. Character, competency. That's what leadership is.